So we're talking about Firenze.
Firenze.
Yeah, but not like the usual, you know.
Right, not just the touristy stuff.
Exactly. More like time travel, art, and like a whole lot of running.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Time travel how?
Well, that's where this blog, 52 Weeks, 52 Half Marathons, comes in. We're going deep on this one.
52 half marathons, that's some dedication.
Right. So this runner, he claims he got his hands on, get this, a Leonardo da Vinci invention.
Wait, hold on. Da Vinci, like the Da Vinci?
Well, one and only. And it supposedly sends him back to, drum roll please, Leonardo's Firenze.
Yeah, that's a deep dive if I've ever heard one. Firenze's during the Renaissance talk about a hotbed of art and culture.
Totally. Though the runner is loving how empty it is. Like, he describes the Mercato Central with just a few vendors, no crowds.
Oh, see, now that's where the time travel bit comes in handy. Can you imagine? Today's Mercato Centrale, it's packed.
Right. And the smells. This runner's getting the solo experience.
Oh, the smells would be something else back then, too. Spices, fresh produce, maybe a hint of less than ideal sanitation.
Okay, so maybe a little less appealing on the nose, but this emptiness lets him really take in the architecture. He compares Santa Maria Novella to Michelangelo's work, says it's like they used leftover stones from the Duomo.
Now that's an interesting observation. While not entirely accurate, architecturally speaking, I see where he's coming from.
How so?
Well, the Duomo, that's pure Renaissance grandeur, that iconic dome by Brunelleschi. Santa Maria Novella, though older, still has that awe-inspiring presence.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different style, you see.
So different eras, different vibes, but both magnificent in their own way. Makes you wonder, though, if those Renaissance masters were inspired by the same streets, you know. This runner, he calls Firenze a painted backdrop, says Leonardo and Michelangelo were cheating, having such a muse.
I can see why he'd say that. Firenze's booty is undeniable, but let's give those artists some credit here. It takes immense skill to translate that beauty onto a canvas.
Good point. Even with our fancy cameras today, it's tough to capture the magic. Speaking of, he talks about struggling to do just that with Ponte Vecchio.
Ponte Vecchio is truly captivating. Did you know it's one of the only bridges in Florence that survived World War II intact?
I did not, but that just adds to the allure. But hold on, this runner's about to have a time warp race to Biazzale Michelangelo.
Now that's a view that's been inspiring artists for centuries. Even in Leonardo's time, people would have been drawn to that panorama.
It's that good, huh?
Trust me, it's breathtaking.
Well, he compares the climb to something called a Dirac climb. Any idea what that means? I'll admit, physics isn't my forte.
Dirac.
Hmm.
It sounds like he's referencing Paul Dirac, a physicist known for, well, some seriously complex theories.
So basically saying it was a brain-busting climb.
That's one way to put it. But, you know, even with all our modern conveniences, a good climb still tests us.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of accomplishment at the top, unmatched.
Okay, so he conquers this Dirac climb, takes in the view, and then, bam, his mind jumps to AI-generated art.
From Renaissance Firenze to artificial intelligence. Now, that's a transition, but, you know, it's a conversation happening more and more these days.
It is, and it's clear this runner has some thoughts.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Let's hear them. It really does make you think, huh. Like, on one hand, AI art is incredible. It can create things we've never seen before.
Right.
But then there's that question,
mm-hmm.
Authenticity, you know, that human touch. Where's that in AI art?
That's a good question. And this runner, he seems kind of freaked out by it. He even compares AI art to like an ultramarathon runner.
An ultramarathon runner? How so?
He's saying it never gets tired, never stops learning, always improving. It's like a little ominous for him.
I could see that. Like, where do we fit in if machines can just outcreate us endlessly?
Exactly. And get this, next stop for him is the Uffizi Gallery. Surrounded by masterpieces, you'd think he'd lighten up a bit.
Hard to be gloomy in the Uffizi, right?
You'd think. But nope. He goes straight from Botticelli to, wait for it, deepfakes.
Wow. Talk about a mood swing. What brings that on?
It's like being surrounded by all that beauty, all that real skill, it sends him spiraling.
Spiraling how?
Thinking about the future, you know? Like, what if we don't even need cameras on our phones anymore?
Okay, now that's a thought. Why wouldn't we need cameras?
Because AI could just generate any image you want. He's picturing us feeding it so much data, it could make these hyper-realistic, personalized photos.
Hmm. So instead of capturing a moment, we're just fabricating it.
Pretty much. And he's not just talking selfies here. He's imagining, like, hey, AI, make me a picture at the Duomo, sunrise, perfect lighting, wearing that outfit I never bought, and boom, there you have it.
It's like, what's real anymore, right? And what happens to our privacy if AI knows that much about us?
Big questions. But I will say he keeps using the Duomo as an example, which I find interesting.
How?
Well, the Duomo itself was this huge feat of engineering back then, you know. To see it empty like he did, it must have been something else.
Oh, absolutely. Brunelleschi, the guy who designed it, he had to invent new building techniques. They'd never made a dome that big before.
See, history lesson and a deep dive all in one. Okay, so where were we? Ah, yes, our runner. He's racking up the miles, passes Piazza della Repubblica again, which, by the way, is where an Apple store will be someday.
Small world. Or, well, small future city, I guess.
Right. He's too busy worrying about paradoxes to dwell on it, though.
Probably for the best. Time travel's tricky like that.
No kidding. But as he's running, you can tell it's getting to him. He talks about being in the enchanted center of Firenze, but feeling alone.
Surrounded by all that history. And he feels lonely. That's something else.
Right. He gets back to the Duomo, calls it the crown jewel, still amazed there are no crowds, even jokes that other churches must have been built with the Duomo's leftovers.
Well, that image definitely gives you a sense of its scale. It really does dominate the city.
Totally. Okay, so he keeps going, calls the streets street canyons, which I thought was a cool description.
Very evocative.
Right. Then, before he heads back to his own time, one last stop, the Basilica di Santa Croce.
A fitting finale. The Temple of Italian Glories, home to Michelangelo, Galileo, Machiavelli. Talk about an atmosphere.
Right, and it's there, surrounded by all those legends that he has, well, a bit of a dystopian thought.
Uh-oh, should be good. What's he come up with now?
So remember how he was worried about cameras disappearing?
Because the whole AI thing, yeah.
This takes it a step further. He's saying, what if, to fight deepfakes, we have to record our lives constantly?
Constantly, like Big Brother style.
Basically. Just to prove we were where we say we were, that we're us and not some AI creation.
That's chilling. Giving up all privacy just to prove we're real, that's a whole other level.
Right. This guy, he goes from Firenze is beautiful to we're all going to be surveilling each other in a matter of like, what, 10K?
It's a wild ride, that's for sure. But, you know, it makes you think, doesn't it? Where do we draw the line?
That's the question, isn't it? Exactly. But hey, at least he got to see all that beauty firsthand before, you know, hypothetical AI surveillance takes over.
Right. And speaking of which, how does he get back to his present? Last we left him, he was at the Basilica di Santa Croce, right?
Yep. And it sounds like those last few kilometers were, well, a trip. He talks about, like, flickering between past and present, empty and crowded streets.
Almost like his own personal time warp montage.
Exactly. And then, just like that, he's back. Standing right where he started, smack dab in the middle of a crowd waiting to see Michelangelo's David.
Talk about a reality check.
Right.
Yeah.
One minute, he's pondering the future of art. The next, he's surrounded by people who probably just want the perfect selfie with a masterpiece.
It's that contrast, though, that makes it interesting, don't you think?
How so?
Well, this runner's gone on this incredible journey through time, right? But it all comes back to this fundamental human experience. Art. Those people in the crowd. They might not be time travelers, but they're connecting with something timeless.
It's like no matter how much technology advances, how much we worry about the future, that draw to art remains.
Exactly.
Okay, so as we wrap things up here, what's the big takeaway? Besides, add time travel half marathon to bucket list, obviously.
Well, for me, it's about the power of exploration. This runner, he set out on a physical journey, but he ended up exploring so much more.
Right. Time. Technology, his own anxieties.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that sometimes the most profound journeys are the ones we least expect.
And hey, he did call Firenze romantic at the end there, so there's that.
And that brings us to something for you, the listener, to consider. Is a place inherently romantic? Or is it us, you know, our own experiences and emotions that make it so?
Now that is a question I'm going to be thinking about. But for now, we're out of time. To everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the heart of Firenze. Until next time, happy travels.